People working to strengthen the entrepreneurial and innovation landscape in Milwaukee and Madison launched a new effort recently. Madwaukee Talks is a series of events organized by the Milwaukee Institute and Starting Block Madison, and it seeks to strengthen the economy of both cities.
The first event was last week and featured Tom Chapman, founder of a Nebraska-based management consulting firm called Chapman & Company. Chapman joined us in the studio along with Milwaukee Institute Executive Director Kathleen Gallagher. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch.
And I guess it's an important idea to get us off the ground with maybe a working definition question. And that is, when we're talking about an entrepreneurial ecosystem, what are we talking about?
You know, ecosystems obviously come from natural language and the idea of nature. Economies work much of the same way, meaning there are a lot of interrelated pieces. Frequently, people will talk about economics or economic development as if it is a transaction. We are going to recruit company X. We are getting a customer Y. In fact, there are a lot of interrelated portions. I like to talk of it like there are six things that are kind of all the balls that we're keeping in the air. At the center is the entrepreneur. So the idea that there are a limited number of high growth actors that have a direct impact on the overall economy of a place. Second thing is finance. And so we're not just talking about venture capital. We're talking about SBA loans. We're talking about angels. We're talking about grants. We're talking about a lot of places that money come from outside of the entrepreneur's own bank account. The third thing is deal flow and metrics. So how are you measuring an economy? How are things being recorded and related? Fourth thing is the idea of a knowledgeable community. So beyond just sort of the transactional nature, does the greater Milwaukee or the greater Madison or the greater Wisconsin area understand what it is to start a company and how it all fits together? What are the key things? So if somebody comes and declares victory about something, are you able to understand what they're talking about? And then the fifth piece is infrastructure. You know, typically when we talk about infrastructure, people are talking about sites and pipes. It's completely different. We were just talking to one of the founders of Generator. Programs like the Angel Tax Credit. There are public policy. There are programs around entrepreneurship that are infrastructure for finding customers and building companies. And then the last thing I call stickiness activities. And those things can be lunches where you're introducing two people that don't know each other. Frequently, they're events like the Madwaukee Talks, but they're really an opportunity to break your network from the people you always see to include people from outside, for example, me, to be able to create opportunities to grow those companies outside of your region.
Like networking on steroids here.
Correct.
So, Kathleen, taking that as the working definition, overlay that on Wisconsin here. Is what we're talking about here that Madison and Milwaukee are part of the same entrepreneurial ecosystem, or they're not and they should be, or what?
I don't think they necessarily have to be. They aren't the same entrepreneurial ecosystem. You know, certainly Madison is much more dependent on university technology and graduates, and Milwaukee is much more dependent on corporations and people who work at them. But we and Starting Block Madison, the co-working space in Madison, got together and started talking about what are ways we can have our communities help each other more and find more avenues to the markets outside this market where our startups and our big companies can benefit.
When we're talking about nurturing an ecosystem, are we really talking about building up all six of these components that you were talking about?
So it's a really interesting question. If you look around the world and you say, what are the best ecosystems? The easiest one to point to is Silicon Valley. Frequently, people will say, why does Silicon Valley work? Silicon Valley works because when it originally started 100 years ago, it was really premised on a couple of these pieces working very well together. Different places will have different strengths. So we were just talking that Madison has underlying research strength because of the University of Wisconsin. Stanford helped Silicon Valley grow in that way, but so did the University of California at Berkeley. So did a bunch of other components. The challenge that I think places that are sort of new to the game are really thinking about this is not to put the cart before the horse. What we're really talking about is how to empower a relatively small number of entrepreneurs. High growth entrepreneurs are really hard to find. There aren't that many of them. How do we help them most effectively? And so they're the number one piece. The other five are supporting that entrepreneur. What do you need in Wisconsin is probably a little bit different than Nebraska, is a little bit different than Texas. And so knowing what you need is probably more important than saying, let's make all of these equal.
So are cities asking the wrong question? Are they asking, you know, where are the entrepreneurs when really they should be asking where's everything else?
I think the opposite. I think the communities are asking the right question. I think, where are your entrepreneurs? I think a lot of times entrepreneurs will stand up and say, look, I'm an entrepreneur. And the real entrepreneurs, the people who are blocking and tackling every day, building great big businesses, are not the people showing up at events. So I think it's really incumbent on leaders who are out kind of in the weeds talking to real entrepreneurs who are trying to grow big companies to find out what their real needs are. When we were initially talking to our entrepreneurial class in Nebraska, one of the things that consistently we talked about was the need for capital. One of the ways that plays itself out is people say, I need money. The reality of that is what they really say is, I really don't know what I'm doing. So I need enough money so that I can figure that out over the course of time. Well, what we heard was not, I need $1 million of venture capital, which were the words coming out of their mouth. What we heard was, man, if I had $75,000 so I could create a product to be able to figure out if this is what my customers are telling me, that makes a huge difference.
Is this like the pre-venture capital phase?
Yeah. So in Nebraska, we created a program called the Nebraska Prototyping Fund, which is a non-dilutive grant from the state that is matched by a private investor or by the individual up to $150,000. That genesis was literally from 10 or 12 entrepreneurs saying, this is how much I need, $40,000. If I take capital at this point from somebody else, I'm giving up 50% of my company because I have nothing. That's crazy. You don't want to dilute your ownership at that point. So people just weren't acting. Since that program started 6 years ago, the average is about 50 deals a year that come out of that program.
What is going most right in Wisconsin as far as our ecosystem goes at this point, and what are the red flags that you see?
You know, it's really interesting because I would say that what's going most right is the accelerator and incubator program is really producing a lot of interesting companies. So if you look at Generator, if you look at some of the other programs that are out there, they're really pushing out good companies. The other thing that I noticed comparing, for example, Madison, but even Milwaukee and the rest of the state have a lot of SBIR grants. If you compare
which
that,
for people who don't know,
Small Business Innovation Research grants, they have a really big number, both on an annual basis, but also in terms of dollars. Those are both really good signals that there's a lot of research that's being turned into companies. So you're commercializing research and you're taking ideas and you're turning them into opportunities. The floor of that is it doesn't seem that those companies then are converting into bigger company, you know, so they're not eventually becoming $100 million companies, et cetera, at the rate that I would like to see. And the reason I say that's a floor is creating companies is not enough. What you want to see is that sustainability of companies that are continuing to grow and expand. And when I look at some of the metrics that we evaluate, what we see is that the companies aren't consistently growing into that. And so what Kathleen and I have talked about is the importance of creating relationships between Milwaukee and other communities where that second, third, fourth customer can present themselves. So for example, if you're in financial technology and you're serving banks in Milwaukee, it's critical that those banks help you get introduced to other banks because they already have that internal network. A lot of the executives from those banks have come from Chicago, have come from Omaha, have come from all over. And being able to get that second, third, fourth customer is a critical way for those companies to jump from 2 million to 20 million. And that's really growth that's important long term for creating big companies in Milwaukee or Madison.
Presumably, Kathleen, you're seeing this issue as well.
Yeah, and one of the things we were talking about earlier is this idea of how you can use your corporate boards to create those relationships for companies in the area.
Why doesn't that happen more often?
So the answer as to why it doesn't happen more often is probably trickier than I can answer, but it doesn't happen more often, particularly in places like Nebraska and Wisconsin and Iowa and Oklahoma, because it's easy to go out and get people that you know to come sit on your board, and you're comfortable because you kind of have a context about what they're going to say and that the fiduciary responsibility is going to be well handled. You don't expose yourself to new types of risk. But the key thing is, as you think about what those boards do, is they create a parochialism, an incestualness inside of communities. And within those communities, you end up not having networks to go get customers in other places. So if, for example, you are in manufacturing and your board is all from Wisconsin and you are looking to go hire a really great executive, your pool is in Wisconsin because that's the network of people. And by the way, the people you're probably hiring from are the people who are sitting on your board. So now you're having limitations already imposed. Whereas if you go out and you say, we're going to get manufacturing executives who are in our same space, call it paper, for example, and we're going to other places that have dense paper industries somewhere in the South, bringing that person in gives you an opportunity to break sort of your network stagnation and create opportunities to get executives, new ideas, talent, but in particular, customers. So when you do that, it's important that you don't just sort of say, hey, Kathleen, come over here. You're going to come to one meeting a year. But instead, you turn it into an opportunity to recruit Kathleen to be a real advocate for this new community. So, you know, Kathleen is talking about Milwaukee, and she's introducing, you know, the new executive to 15 other executives who are around Milwaukee and talking about what's big, so that then when that person goes back to, I think New Orleans was the example we used, there are all these connections back to New Orleans that unlock whether it's capital or resources or talent or customers. And I think customers is the key for what we were talking about that didn't exist before. And the way you do that is breaking those networks down into opportunities to create new, what did my son call them? New rays on the network.
Are there other entrepreneurial communities that were at this point not that long ago that have done this with success?
The classic example. So if somebody said, what are the good ones? They would say Silicon Valley, Boston, New York, and then the next tier would be Austin, Boulder. The community that I like to look at, because I think it's much more like Madison and Milwaukee and Omaha and Lincoln, is Salt Lake City and Provo. They've done an incredible job. I mean, just an incredible job. When you talk about their data from 1990 to about 2010, it was about a 10x increase. And a lot of what they did was they tapped into their networks in California. And frankly, a lot of it was tied into the Church of Latter-day Saints. But that network effect of going then into Silicon Valley and Los Angeles was huge with regards to them to bring in expertise, whether it was speaking, whether it was mentors, whether it was board seats. They did an incredible job. So, you know, to give you one classic example, the University of Utah went from being a really small research university to running right past a bunch of the Big Ten universities and is now somewhere in the middle of the Big Ten universities for research. And that's all driven by being very active in building this network and going out and taking best ideas as well as best people from other markets.
So does it matter here if we talk about being the next Silicon Valley or the next Salt Lake City, Provo?
I think the opportunity for Milwaukee and Madison is actually to be its own really exciting place, that so that in 20 years people are actually talking about being the next Milwaukee and Madison rather than saying, oh, we should be like this place or that place. The unique assets, I mean, the University of Wisconsin is an incredibly unique asset just in terms of Wharf, the amount of research dollars, the incredible life sciences work that's going on there. That's really valuable. But having a place like Milwaukee that is such a big corporate hub, whether you're talking about customers or the opportunity to create innovations that just sort of fall off the wagon and never get taken anywhere. You know, we were talking about an opportunity that was tied into the trucking industry here before we came on air. And that opportunity requires deep industrial knowledge. And that deep industrial knowledge unlocks, the network unlocks, but you need to find that special entrepreneur that can take advantage of it. And so Milwaukee's really well positioned because there's a lot of opportunities just in the density of the corporations here to be able to do incredible things. So I wouldn't think about saying, hey, we want to be Austin. I would think about saying, we want to maximize what we are because, by the way, what you are is pretty good already. I mean, Madison really sparkles in the data. And Milwaukee is average to above average in a lot of the data. And so what you can be is something much better than you are by maximizing what you have, not by trying to be somebody else or somewhere else.
Tom Chapman, Kathleen Gallagher, thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
Tom Chapman founded and leads Chapman & Company, a Nebraska-based management consulting firm. He was the first speaker in a series called Madwaukee Talks, organized by Starting Block Madison and the Milwaukee Institute.
Kathleen Gallagher directs the Milwaukee Institute. She is also co-host of the series How Did You Do That?, which airs monthly on Lake Effect.